I feel inspired of the sweet Holy Spirit to bring a message about spiritual blessings. I want to start with Ephesians chapter 1 and about the first few verses here, or starting at verse 3 and 4. It's my introductory text. Spiritual blessings. You know, we have a lot of natural, material, earthly, fleshly blessings, but it's the spiritual blessings that we want to make paramount in our lives. It says here, the Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." All spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in realm above this material, fleshly, earthly world. All spiritual blessings, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's what He wants. He wants us to get a hold of spiritual blessings. Now I want you to think about it. We're going to start in John chapter 1. And first one of the spiritual blessings we want to mention, we could make a whole message out of it, but we're going to try to cover a lot of spiritual blessings. But this is spiritual light. You know, everybody, we all need spiritual light. We need natural light, the light of the sun and the light of the electricity and all. We need that, we use that, and that's good. But we need spiritual light. Now listen what this says here. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." That's talking about Christ. He was the Word. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men." All, and it says, "And the light shineth in darkness." This is spiritual light, what He's talking about. "And the light shineth in darkness, but the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not." Now there's two ways of looking at this text. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't stop the light. Because if this building is, the lights are all off and it's dark in here, then when you flip the switch and get, the light will come on, then the darkness goes out. As a general rule, the darkness will not stop the light. In fact, the light will drive out the darkness. And then, there's another angle on this. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There is a darkness that will not take in the light. And you know where that darkness is? It's in your heart, mind, attitude, spirit. It's a darkness of your mind and your heart and your attitude. You don't feel you need any light. You don't want any light. You're satisfied and you're going after the darkness of this world, and you can just put that light and keep it out. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John was not that light. But he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that Jesus was the light. Jesus brought the light of regeneration, the light of knowledge and understanding, the light of grace and power and victory. He brought that light. He was not that light. John was not that light. But he came to bear witness of that light, and that was Jesus, the true light. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for the light. We could just have a whole message on that. I'll never forget a day years ago when I was living in Springfield, Missouri, and I had some kind of disappointments that day. We had some of the folks, dear ones, Brother Ira Stover and his wife, they were on their way to go see about Sister down in Missouri there. And I was working, and I came home for lunch, and they were just getting ready to leave. They'd come by our house, and my wife had fixed them some dinner, and they were just getting ready to leave. And, oh, I was so disappointed. I was hungry for some kind of spiritual uplift, and they were just getting ready to leave. They just left. I was so disappointed. I went back to work, and I was just crushing under that. I wanted to see them so bad, and they just went on, and I was just so disappointed. And just, well, I had a delivery to make. I drove a delivery truck for a company, a printing company, and an office furniture company. And I had a beautiful lantern, lamp, floor lamp, and I was going to deliver that. And I looked on the ticket, and it said, to the sisters of the adorers of the precious blood. And I went, what is that? It must be a Catholic deal. And sure enough, it was. It was a place where there were several Catholic nuns that stayed there. And they had ordered this lamp. Well, I got the lamp out of the wagon. I got it parked, got out, brought it in, and set it up and hooked it up and showed them how to work it. And the older lady, she was the one that was kind of dealing with me. And I said, that's a wonderful light, wonderful lamp, wonderful light. Yes, she says, it is. I says, well, you know, we all need light. Yes. I said, we all need spiritual light. Yes, that's true. And I said, the way we get spiritual light is from the Bible and the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, that's true, she said. Anyway, I said goodbye to him, and I went on out the door and got in my little wagon there that I was driving, and I kept thinking about, as I drove down the street, I was thinking about those words I said, we all need spiritual light. And brother and sister, I want to tell you, heaven all came down in my soul. God knew I needed some comfort. And I'll tell you, that was the scriptures, oh my, they just started coming to me, one right after another, the light of God. Oh, it was just wonderful. And that one song we sang, in the light of God. Oh, I tell you, I was so on. That was so blessed. I'm so thankful for the spiritual light. All right, let's go to John 3 and 4. Well, let's read a little bit ahead there. There was a man of the Pharisees whose name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Now this word again means the real word is born from above. That's the Greek text, word here, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Okay, then you know now Jesus is talking about something other than a natural birth. Except a man be born again. And then Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we see he's not talking about the natural birth, but he's talking about a spiritual birth. To be born again, born of the Spirit of God, born from above. That's what everybody needs. You were born one time of the flesh of your mother. Now you need to have a birth of spiritual life in your soul, in your inner man. It's a spiritual birth, a spiritual life, a spiritual blessing. Isn't that wonderful? Have you had it? Do you have it? Okay, let's go to another spiritual blessing. John 4 and let's see. About John 4 and 12. We have here a woman. Jesus, he's resting on the well, Jacob's well, there in Sychar and Samaria, and his disciples had gone to the store somewhere to get some food. And while Jesus was there, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me to drink. Then, verse 9, the woman said of Samaria said, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence then hast thou this living water? See, she's just still thinking about the literal water. But Jesus is talking about spiritual water. Have you drunk from spiritual water today? I have. Thank the Lord. I've been drinking from the fountain of spiritual water. It's a spiritual drink. A spiritual taking in to your heart and mind of God's Word and God's Holy Spirit and blessings and refreshing and just satisfying the heart and the mind, that spiritual water. He goes on and says, verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water, she asked him, she said, are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? She's still thinking about the literal. You know, that's the trouble with many people. Their mind, that's all they have is just material things. That's all she knew. She said, water, well, all she knew was this water. Jesus says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Isn't that right? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of a well? Oh, yes, this well. You drink of this literal water, you'll have to be drinking again of it. But said, if you drink of this water, it'll be in you a well of water. And the woman said, she's still thinking about literal water. Well, sir, give me this water, and that I thirst not, nor come hither to draw. See, well, if I can have some of this water, I won't draw. He's not talking about that old literal water. He's talking about spiritual water that you can have in your soul. Oh, I thank the Lord for his goodness. Now we want to go on down. The woman, she continued her little time with Jesus. She wanted to ask him something. And Jesus said to her in verse 16, go
call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said thou hast no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. To the fact that he knew how many husbands she had, she just knew there's something about him. And then she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but thou sayest that in Jerusalem is a place for people, men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now that's a great thought, isn't it? That's a great truth. Spirit, worship God. This is the kind of worship that we want to have. We want to have a spiritual worship. It isn't a big organ or a piano or a guitar or something. We don't need that in our worship. I tell you what, dear ones, I have experienced in this meeting some of the richest spiritual blessings in our singing that I've ever had in all my life. It's just wonderful. I thank the Lord for spiritual worship. We worship in our hearts and minds, going up toward heaven, just pouring out our hearts, and then the Spirit of the Lord coming and blessing and comforting. Oh my, what a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. All right, let's go to John 5 and 24. And we're going to get another spiritual blessing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking again, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Now you see, he's speaking about a spiritual resurrection. That's what we need. Everybody needs to be raised from the dead state of sin to life in God. That's spiritual resurrection. That's spiritual life. Spiritual being, spiritual conversations with God, and communion with heaven. Oh, what a wonderful thing. I'm so glad that I was blessed to be raised from the dead state of sin and worldliness and pride and lust and greed. And I was raised to a life of joy and gladness and fellowship with God. Praise God. Oh my, there's just spiritual. Now, we're going to get another spiritual blessing in John 6. And we'll go to verse 26. We have here in this chapter a time when Jesus fed the 5,000, and they were so carried away with these five loaves and two fishes, and Jesus fed 5,000 besides the women and children, and these men said in verse 14, said, this is the truth, the prophet that should come into the world. And Jesus, when he perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed. And he departed from them and got away from them. But they were still after him. They were still trying to get to him. And they come on the other side of the sea the next day. And they come and find a rabbi, verse 25, when camest thou hither? How'd you get over here? And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. He's talking about spiritual food. Have you had any spiritual food today? How many have you had spiritual food today? It's wonderful. Don't labor for the old food that perishes. Don't be so carried away. You know, sad to say, our society is just eating themselves to the grave. That's the truth. People are eating and putting food in their body that they don't need. And the weight that people are carrying around is pitiful. And it's not healthy for your body. You don't need all this food. Eating three times a day and loading your belly up each time. Do you think your body needs that? I want to tell you, you don't need it. I'm thankful that I have learned in life I don't need to fill my body with food like people are doing. I ain't going to do it. I'm going after spiritual food. I love for the Lord to visit my soul, inspire my heart with His Word, and comfort me, and enlighten me, and bless me, and strengthen me, and nourish me up in spiritual life. I love that spiritual food, spiritual bread, the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And He can be a food to our souls. I am so glad I love and have found the wonderful bread of life. All right, let's go through John 8 and 31 for another spiritual blessing. This time, this is spiritual liberty, spiritual freedom. John 8. 28 and 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now see, what are they thinking about? They're thinking about being free from people and free from, and like the law would say. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. What kind of liberty was He talking about? Freedom from sin. Freedom, not freedom from people and freedom from like they were thinking about being free. No, it's freedom from sin. Set free. I'm glad. I'm over there in Romans chapter 6. It has lots of good things it says about being free from sin. I thank the Lord for this wonderful spiritual liberty and freedom we have. In John 9 and 39, we have in John 9, we have the story about the man that was blind and how Jesus made him to see. And then how the Jews, they came and they tried to get him to, oh, they were just really against Jesus, and they didn't want him to glorifying the Lord. Verse 34 says, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. He told them, he said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they said, you were born in sin. Dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They cast the blind man out. Jesus had healed him and made him to see naturally. But now he's going to hit on something else. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both sent him, and it is he who talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Now listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus said, for judgment am I come into the world, this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Do you get what his thought is? For the judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. You know what he's talking about? Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said, are we blind also? You're talking about, are we blind? This is what Jesus said. If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, so your sin remains. See what he's talking about? If you would acknowledge that you were blind, if you would acknowledge that you don't understand, if you would acknowledge your ignorance, then you could get some help. But now you say, I see, I don't need anything. Then your sin remains. It means a lot to be honest and confess your need. There are many people, they don't think they need anything. They don't think they need to hear the gospel. They don't think they need to make any kind of move to God. They're all right. They're good enough themselves. Sad. Many people like that. Just like that, what Jesus said. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. All right. I want to just mention now that about spiritual sheep. Jesus, he is our spiritual shepherd, and we are his spiritual sheep. Verse 7 of chapter 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Spiritual sheep. Are you one of God's spiritual sheep? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that your testimony? Thank the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He feeds me. I shall not lack. I shall not want. He takes care of me. Oh, thank the Lord for being a spiritual sheep. All right, now we want to go to Matthew 6. I want to get something else. Matthew 6 and 19. I want to mention spiritual treasures. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust, that's corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, spiritual treasures. Money, property, houses, lands, cars, all these old material blessings, bah, they're going to be gone one of these days. I want something that's eternal. I want spiritual treasures. I want spiritual wealth of contentment and victory and peace and joy and gladness and comfort and love and fellowship with God. That's what I want. Not these old earthly, I'll tell you, this old money. This money system's the biggest farce there is. It's just awful. Oh, sure, we all have to have some money. Yeah. But it's all going to perish. All these old houses and lands. We're not going to have these things in heaven. We got something better up in heaven. Oh, thank the Lord for the spiritual treasures. Thank the Lord. Let's go to Luke 12. Oh, I thank the Lord for these wonderful spiritual blessings. I'm just a-feasting on them. Luke 12 and 15. Oh, well, let's start at verse 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Don't be so taken up with covetousness and the love of money. Did you know there are people just like that in this society? They love money. They love wealth. We all have to have some money. But I have found that as I let God have His way in my life, He always supplies my needs. Thank the Lord He has kept us. We have not been in debt for over 26 years. The Lord supplies our needs. We don't have a whole lot of money, but we have all we need. Dear ones, if you put your affection on things above, the Lord will take care. Jesus says, by talking about seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. I found that to be so. Where is my treasure? It's in heaven. Praise the Lord. All right, Matthew, let's see what 17 and 20 says. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, Jesus, that when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now that word with observation means it cometh not with outward show. In other words, it's not a material kingdom, an earthly kingdom. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That word within there means just what it says. I've had seen some rendering of that to say the kingdom of God is among you. But that's not the word. The word is within. In other words, it's a spiritual kingdom. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We're in a kingdom that will never pass away. It's a spiritual kingdom. And the Jews, they felt like that the Messiah was to come and set up an earthly kingdom. That's what they did. That's what they wanted. Jesus didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. He came to set up a spiritual kingdom in the hearts and lives of people. One of the richest, sweetest songs in our book, number 32, What a Kingdom. Oh, it's just wonderful. Spiritual kingdom. Well, how are we getting along with all these spiritual blessings? Romans 8 and 5. Let's see what we got over here. Spiritual life. Spiritual blessings. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Lord, help us to be lifted up above this old fleshly lust, body, and feelings and emotions. And Lord, help us to be lifted up into a spiritual realm. This realm of the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things that are the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Lord, help us and deliver us from that old carnal mind. Fleshly thoughts, fleshly attitudes, fleshly lusts, fleshly desires. Lord, help us to live in the Spirit. Carnal mind is enmity against God, is subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Oh, may the Lord help us. All right, Romans 14 and 17. You know what that one is, don't you? 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What a kingdom we have, a spiritual kingdom. Thank the Lord for His goodness to us. Okay, let's go. Spiritual freedom. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves. Spiritual cleansing. We need to be spiritually cleansed from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Oh, Lord, help us that we'll be able to overcome the old natural lustful things. I tell you, we just don't want to have that kind of a relationship with anybody. Galatians 5 and 22. We're talking about fruit now. Up above this, it speaks about the works of the flesh. Manifest, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. We're thankful we can be free from those things. And he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, by heart, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. Thank the Lord we can have the real fruit, spiritual fruit. I thank the Lord for natural fruit. I really enjoy good old apples and bananas and peaches and pears and plums and prunes and dates and figs and all these things. I enjoy them, but I enjoy this fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control, meekness, gentleness, all those fruits. That's what we want to partake of. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. No, it's 1 Timothy chapter 2. Where we'll start at verse 8. I will therefore, this is Apostle Paul, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves with in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Shamefacedness means you don't want to reveal yourself and show yourself. You cover up your body. That's what he's talking about here. Adorn themselves in modest apparel. Not going around showing your body and your flesh and your skin. No, no. The Lord wants you to cover up your body. He doesn't want you to. You know, the styles and fads and fashions of this world are so shameful, it's just awful. I'm glad that we have a standard in the Bible, a standard of spiritual beauty, not outward beauty. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair. That means you take and you braid your hair and braid various ornaments in it. Or gold, not to wear gold. Or pearls. Or costly array. You know, a child of God, a woman that's godly, she doesn't want to wear rings and necklaces and earrings. She doesn't want to do that. I have read about Frances Ridley Havergale. She lived back in the 1800s. She wrote some of our songs. She was a wonderful child of God. The Lord showed her no adornment. She took off the adornment. She wouldn't wear the adornment. She was a godly, spiritual woman. Let's look at 1 Peter 3, and it has another place there where it speaks about this matter. 1 Peter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time holy women of God also trusted in God, also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Oh, the spiritual beauty is what we need to strive for. Not outward beauty, not outward adornment. No. I remember reading about a man that had a godly wife. And he didn't profess to be saved, but his wife did. And she was a godly woman. And she's a spiritual woman and very much subject to him in all that she could. Even though he was ungodly, yet she had a way, she won his confidence. And one day, this man was with a bunch of his cronies. They were at some midnight party or something. He'd go out and she'd just stay home. She wouldn't go with him. She was a godly woman. And anyway, this man was talking to some of his men, and they got to talking about their wives. Well, one man, he's telling about his wife and then the other man told about his wife. And finally, this man that had the godly wife said, "Listen," he said, "I want to tell you about my wife." And so he started telling about his wife and what a good woman she was. And oh, see how he appreciated her. And they said, they just kind of mocked at him. Well, he said, "I'll tell you what. I could take you guys right now to my house. I could get my wife. She's in bed. She's gone to bed. I could get her up and tell her that she'll fix us all a big dinner tonight." "No," they said, "you won't do that." "Okay," says, "come on." So they came. He brought these men. I don't know how many there were. They brought him in. "Wife," he went into the bedroom where she was. "Wife, get up. I want you to fix a dinner for all my buddies here. We're all a bunch of us here. I want you to fix dinner." You know what that woman did? She got up. She didn't say a word. She got up and got dressed, came in. She made a sumptuous dinner for those men. She never complained. She never fussed. She just did it so sweetly. Boy, the men, all of them were overwhelmed. They didn't believe that she would do it, but here she's done it. And all those men, they were just overwhelmed. And the man himself, they told him, they said, "You're not worthy of her." They knew what kind of man he was. And he says, "That's right, I'm not." You know what happened? That man got saved. And I think some of the others did too. It did something to those people, to those men. Oh, I tell you, dear ones, spiritual things is what we need to seek for. Spiritual beauty, spiritual treasures, spiritual blessings. Now let's go back to my text in Ephesians 1. I'll close out with my original text. 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Thank the Lord for the spiritual blessing. Amen.